You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I think I have mentioned before on several occasions that I hardly ever go to movies. If Hollywood depended on me, they would be in the poorhouse tomorrow. And that's the reason why a week or so ago I didn't watch the Academy Awards. I have no idea who these people are, or I haven't seen any of the movies. So it just is something that's just not part of my life. But I'm going to make an exception if it's not too late, or maybe go buy the DVD. I'm very aware of this current movie called Selma, because we are now at the 50th anniversary, as we found out in the news, of the civil rights protest march at Selma, Alabama. And this movie has come out and is commemorating that 50th anniversary. I think it's a wonderful coincidence, I guess, that we have this gospel that was just read for the third Sunday of Lent. Because Jesus, as you can gather from the way the story was told, also was engaging in a bit of rather dramatic protest. I suppose I am also dating myself when I have to confess that I go back to the 1960s. I wanted very much to go down to Selma, but I was in the seminary at the time and they wouldn't give us permission. And I thought if I escaped, they might throw me out for good, so I thought better of it. But nevertheless, I've been in my share of protest marches over the years, especially since much of my work was with African Americans in Chicago and in other northern cities. I've had the honor, I guess I should call it, of having marched several times with Dr. Martin Luther King for equal housing rights and against racist policies and things like that. And I know something, at least a little bit, about protesting. We did it a lot back in the 60s, as those of us who are that old know. To me, it's almost a nightmare experience. I can still remember, as if it were yesterday, marching in a particular borderline area in the city of Chicago, walking down the street with people on both sides of the street just drooling with hatred, calling me a nigger lover, and bricks were flying through the air. And I thought to myself, I must be crazy. I mean, it was a kind of a dangerous situation when you put your body on the line, whether you were facing bricks flying through the air or snarling dogs or fire hoses and all of that. So I intend to see this movie, Selma, because I don't like to relive painful experiences, but I think it's a part of history. And as President Obama said yesterday, the march isn't quite over yet. All that being said, 2,000 years ago, Jesus cleaning out the temple. This part of the gospel is sometimes called the cleansing of the temple. Well, Jesus, isn't that a wonderful gospel? Isn't it neat to know that Jesus, besides being the Son of God, was also very human? And the only way to describe it, I hope this is not disrespectful, Jesus went in there and saw what was going on in the temple, and he had a bad hair day. He lost it. He got angry, made a whip, and you heard the story in the gospel how he told him this is not to be a marketplace, and tipped over the tables and ran the animals out the front door. Too bad they didn't have cameras and newsreels back in those days. That would be a great movie to see as well. But before we get into all of that, let's go back 1,000 years before Jesus to the first reading, which is one of several versions of the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. And this is a good version because God told through Moses, told the people, here are my commandments. There were just 10 of them. Some of the things that said you're supposed to do this and not do other things. But this version is so precious because Moses, speaking for God, said, these are the commandments. And then God gave some reasons why you should do it. It wasn't just a list of do's and don'ts. There were some reasons given, and it all made sense. It was a perfect charter for setting up the Jewish religion. Well, what happened in 1,000 years between then and this gospel scene where Jesus goes and cleans out the temple? What happened in those 1,000 years that made it different? Well, for one thing, they went from 10 commandments to over 600 of them. They had a talent for multiplying God's words almost to the point of driving it, probably drove God crazy too. And the Jewish religion very slowly over all those centuries became institutionalized and very formal and ritualistic. They had all these sacrifices that were performed in the temple. And essentially what happened was it became an empty outward display of ritual, and they had lost the heart and soul that lied down deep within. That's why Jesus went crazy when he went to the temple and he says, you're turning this place, a house of prayer, into a marketplace. And that happens with religions if they're not careful. If they don't hang on to their heart and soul, they can deteriorate, get hardening of the arteries, I guess you would say, and deteriorate into just empty practices, and people can hardly even remember why they are doing what they are doing. And so that's the background. That's why Jesus was protesting so vehemently when he went into the temple. Nobody was praying with sincerity, but they were sacrificing animals and buying and selling. And doesn't that always happen with human society? When it really gets institutionalized, somebody's always there to make some money off of it. There's always some kind of commercial end of it too. And so that's, I think, why these scriptures are put together here for us on this particular Sunday. And here we are, 2,000 years after Jesus, and I think we have to examine ourselves as well. Because, let's face it, the Christian church is just as susceptible to hardening of the arteries as was the chosen people in the Old Testament. And we'd like to say that 2,000 years have all been true gospel living, but there are so many instances where the church has got embroiled in external observances, buildings and ceremonies, clothes, and layers of clothes. A friend of mine is being ordained a bishop in a couple of weeks, and you would not want to know the price of what he's had to pay for all that junk they wear. It's a scandal. It's an outright scandal because we have put so much of our faith into the external display, and we are always in danger of losing the heart and soul that underlies it all. At the universal level of the church, thank God for Pope Francis. Pray to God that he lives to be 150 years old. Because he's done some temple cleansing over there in the Vatican, too. And a lot of those old stuffy cardinals are having heart trouble about it. And especially attacking the financial workings of the church. Don't get me warmed up on this subject, but I cheer the man on, and he's doing exactly what Jesus did. He's saying at every chance he gets, by word and example, we got to get back to the heart and soul of the gospel and get rid of some of this paraphernalia that we have so fallen in love with. We got to have a new shot of spirit and life in the church. Well, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander, as the old saying goes. It runs right down. It needs to happen at the diocesan level, and it needs to happen here at the parish level. So that's the lesson for the church at all different levels. We've got to be so vigilant that we don't get so impressed with our temples and buildings and churches and stuff and all the stuff that we got in them and forget that there is the soul of the gospel. Because every time that happens, when an institution like a religion gets too institutional, it always turns into a marketplace. Somebody is always buying and selling and making something off of it. So that's the lesson for all of us at all levels of the church. But before we leave this subject, let's also talk about the temple of ourselves. Jesus says we are temples of the Holy Spirit too. And that's what Lent is about. Maybe you need to go in there with a whip and some cords and do a little cleansing of your own temple in case your soul has turned into a marketplace. And we don't think that way once in a while. Some of us are old enough, we remember growing up on indulgences and all that darn stuff as if you could buy your way into heaven. Do enough penance and say enough Our Fathers and Hail Marys and you have to pay off God to get into heaven. What utter nonsense. God is love and God is mercy before we even start to repent. So there's a lesson for the church, and then there's a lesson for each and every one of us too, and we better learn it now so that at the judgment we don't have to try to explain why we did not learn it. The second reading today was tucked in between there, between those first two. And St. Paul said to the Corinthians that we are preaching Christ crucified. He said this is a stumbling block for the Jews and a act of foolishness for the Gentiles. But nevertheless, that's what we are focusing on during the season of Lent. And Paul reminded the Corinthians, and he reminds us, God's foolishness is even wiser than anything we can come up with. So let us ask God to bless our cleansing action in imitation of Jesus during this holy season of Lent. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.